inspiring interviews, provocative people. Get ready. Get bold today with your Emmy-winning host, LeGron Green.
I'm LeGron Green, and this is Bold. This is a place where we let you learn to sit back and relax and allow the shift to happen in your life. My guest today is Rob Frassardi. And Rob, I would describe you as the modern-day music man. Welcome, Rob, to the show.
Oh, thanks. I'll take that compliment. I'll take what I can get these days. I like that. Well, as you get older, you take all the compliments you can get.
Well, you can join our conversation at getboldtoday.com. That's where you'll find interviews with people like Rob and all my other guests. But Rob is a 2-time Grammy Award-winning producer who's worked with Macy Gray, Britney Spears, Whitney Houston, and Lady Gaga, Destiny's Child. Who haven't you worked with, Rob? You are doing it out. My goodness.
Oh, my God, that's great. It's funny because people always say, like, who's the one person you would want to work with dead or alive that obviously you could have him work with? And the answer to that is Prince. So that's still my dream is Prince. Like, just even just to have a cup of coffee. We don't have to even work. We just have coffee.
Just have coffee together. Yes. Well, we're going to break down Rob's illustrious career and what he's doing now. He's got a single coming out called Do Ya, which I believe is the theme song for one of my favorite shows. But it's going to be with RuPaul's Drag Race. You're doing a tour.
Yes, we're going on tour with the Drag Race starting February 1st in Vegas. So it's going to be a blast. I can't wait.
Well, take us back, Rob. Take us back to, I'm going to go into a time machine like I like to do with a lot of my guests. And when did you first have the inkling that music was it for you?
You know, it's funny because I tried to fight it. I tried to fight music my whole life because, I was always, like, trying to talk myself out of it. I'm like, come on, bro. Like, this is so, it's just a dream. You got to. You know, my folks and my mom would always be like, come on, you gotta stop this. And I would work all these jobs, and I would last, like a month or two. And all these jobs, and I would try to start careers in all these different industries. And I would just get fired from every job. I was always on the job thinking about lyrics and production and songs and ideas and artists and music. And I was like, I must just, this is not going well. At all. And so, it came to, I was in my early, like, to mid-20s, and I stopped, and I said, all right, I gotta give this a shot. The yearning and the burning is just, it's too much.
It's too much, yes. You couldn't contain it. You could not contain all that energy.
I couldn't. It was like, overbearing. And I always tell people, that's how you know what you're supposed to do. You can't fight it. You can try, but when there's a path for you, there's a path for you. And sometimes you got to just let go of the wheel and just let it be and stop the worrying and just take the ride. Cause we can't control, when it's going to happen, if it's going to happen, where it's going to. So you know what? We can at least enjoy the ride and just take a look out the window once in a while. Open the window, put your head out. And I decided to do that. And I went home one day, and I'm still living at home with my mom. And I said, Mom, I'm still living here and I'm not paying rent. I said, I just want to take one year to really go at music full time and give it my all and not work a job and I'll get up every day and treat the music like a job and I'll write and I'll get into the city and I'll shop songs. And I said, if nothing happens in that year, I promise you I'll go back to work. I'll find a real job. And she was like, oh, geez, we're still doing this music thing. So, as reluctant as she was like, do what you got to do. So she gave me the year. And, of course, the year went by and nothing happened. I think it must have been like a couple months after that. I was working, with a new singer I found. And I just had this idea for a song. It was like really simple. And it was almost too simple. I was like, this is horrible. I'm like, it's so simple because it was like one note. And it was Iggy saying, no, 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 no. When it's in the air,
yeah. Got no, 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 no. We all know that song, Destiny's Child. Right?
I gotta tell you, I walked around for a week saying to myself, this is idiotic. I can't, there's not even a melody to this song. Like, what am I really going to work on this song? So I didn't work on it. I just left it kind of aside. I put the hook down with this guy that I was working with, and he sang the hook for me, and I was like, there's just no notes in there. I'm a musician. I write songs. This is like nothing. So needless to say, I think, you know, a few weeks later, I brought it back up, and I pulled it up in the studio. And I happened to be working on it when a friend of mine came over, and he brought a buddy of his, a guy by the name of Vincent Herbert, and it's the first time I met this guy. And we were just chatting, and he's like, oh, wait, you know, what are you working on? Play me something. And I'm like, I guess I'll play this because I'm on the computer and it's kind of, I'm working on it. So I hit the play button, and his eyes just lit up. And he said to me, he said, that's
a hit.
He said, that's a hit song. I'm like, it is? I'm like, for who? He's like, I got to tell you. He's like, I just started working with this group, he said, on Columbia called Destiny's Child. And I hadn't heard of them, obviously, before. It was new.
Right.
Tell me about them. I'm like, he said, can I take a copy of it? I'm going to see the A&R person later. I'm going to see the group. And if it's okay, I'll play them. I'll play what you have. I'm like, I take it, sure. And I just didn't think anything of it.
So
he called me that night, and he said, I played for the A&R. I played it for Beyonce and the group. And I didn't know who Beyonce was. I'm like, that's great. And he said, it's going to be their first single. I'm like, come on, bro. Like, why are you doing this? Like, this is, the jokes aren't cool right now. I got $35 in the bank, and I could barely eat, you know, so it's like, no joke. And he's like, I'm not kidding you. And from there, it just took off.
It took off.
That was it.
Well, I mean, let's listen to a little bit of No, 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 a Destiny's Child. Rob Fusari's first hit.
Keep it real. Tell me what's going on. Tell me how you feel. Oh, I know you want me just as much as I want you. So come and get my love. All here for you.
So you went from Destiny's Child. You wrote that. You wrote, Bootylicious?
Yes.
Then So what happened when you got the money for the first song and you told your mom, hey, or she heard it on the radio? She's like, oh, okay, I guess it's working now.
I gotta tell you, my mom still to this day doesn't know what a producer does.
She doesn't know who Lady Gaga is, doesn't she?
She still says to me, are you making any money at this yet?
Yeah, you made a little bit of money, Rob. A little bit.
Yeah, I'm very fortunate. That guy has blessed me for sure. I mean, it's been an incredible ride. I mean, you know, I can still remember the first time I heard it. And I think that the best part about it, it wasn't, you know, knowing that I was going to have some, you know, some notoriety or some in into the music industry. I think it was the fact that I realized when I heard that song on the radio, when I heard No, No, No on the radio for the first time, I realized I was part of something.
Yes.
And I think that's what we all want. We all just want to be part of something, you know, almost bigger than us, you know? And it felt like this wasn't really me. It felt like there was a higher power. There was something else driving this, because it didn't make any sense. This small town, you know, white guy from New Jersey, you know, is now entering into this world of, you know, R&B and hip. I couldn't add up the pieces. And it was like,
well,
it was me.
It was a good metaphor for life, because I don't think it ever is really just the person, but we are vehicles. You know, I think one thing we talk about here on Bold is I tell people the greatest power that you have lies within. And when you allow yourself to be a vehicle or conduit for that expression. Like for you, Rob, it was obviously your music, and you couldn't, I always tell people this, it was something that you could not do. You
exactly.
had to do it. You had
feel
to
it.
Do it.
You feel it. You feel
and,
it.
And you had and the you courage to, do, the, to go for it.
Yeah, and you know, whatever it is in somebody's life, there's, you know, that's the one thing. It's never about money. Like, money never drives you in the right direction. It's funny. You know, because it's that being part of something. It's that longing. If it's like, if it's making hangers, and that's what you just love, it's like, what, you know, there's nothing greater than waking up in the morning and having a purpose and feeling like you want to go and do something, create and be part of a team. And, you know, and it's like the one thing that I've learned is that we all sometimes think that there's elements out there that are against us or fighting it or doing, you know, that don't want to see us succeed. But I realized for me, my worst enemy this whole trip, this whole ride has been me.
You know,
I'm the only one
who
blocks it.
And so where did Lady Gaga come into the picture?
So I wanted to find an artist. I wanted to find, and it was almost me, it was me trying to release the artist in me. Like I didn't feel confident enough to do it and hit the stage and record. So
right.
I needed someone to be that vehicle that I could speak through. And so I looked for a good 2 years. I had worked with, you know, maybe a dozen artists. I wanted it to be a female because, you know, I'm very in touch with my feminist side. And I love, you know, I love that about me. And, you know, I was brought up by my mom. My dad had passed away early in my life. And so I was very in touch with my feminist side. So I wanted it to be a female. And I just looked, you know, I looked for a few years, had worked with a couple of artists, and one day a friend of mine introduced me to this girl, and she said, you know, I found this girl who you might want to check out. And I said, sure, I've been checking out, you know, dozens of others, so, you know, send her my way. So I had met Stephanie in 2006 at my studio in New Jersey, and, you know, when she walked into the studio, you know, she seemed very nice, but you know, we immediately we draw our conclusion.
Right, right. Because that was, you know, that was, she was not Lady Gaga, right?
Right, right. not at all. And not that she didn't have something, but it was like I had this very specific picture. You know, it's almost like when you read a book, you draw the picture in your mind what you want the imagery to look like, and that's beautiful. That's the best part. That's why reading books are so amazing. Because you're the director. You make the scenery. You draw the characters, what they look like, how they sound. And I had this vision for this female artist for a few years now. And when she walked in, I'm like, ah, no, that's not it. You know? But, you know, she had taken the bus from New York City out to Parsippany, New Jersey. It was like 8 o'clock on a week, Monday night, I believe. And, you know, I was going to be considerate and, you know, take the meeting and spend some time with her, talk a little bit about her music. And so we talked a little bit, half hour, about what she was doing. I was kind of listening, you know, with one ear. I was, you know, I was on to the next thing already in my mind. And I said to her, why don't you come into the patrol room, and there's a piano back there, play me one of your songs. And I've heard some of the songs on her, you know, on her website, and I just wasn't really impressed. But there, I did see something there, enough that I wanted to take the meeting. So she sat down at the piano in the control room, and she hit the piano, and within like 10 seconds, like no exaggeration, I was like, whoa, stop the presses, what? And it was like I saw stars. It was almost like somebody like punched me in the face, and I was just like, whoa, wait a minute. So I was just, I dropped everything I was doing. I stopped, you know, I just stopped working on anything else. And I said, this is it. This is like, I found my Bowie.
Right. So you become the man behind Lady Gaga, which is probably your biggest credits. And you go on that ride.
We go on the ride. We find that direction. We change up the fashion. You know, we start in this very rock and roll, you know, John Lennon, Beatles, Led Zeppelin, female rock thing, and within a few months, I'm like, this is, no.
And you will,
you know, I said to her, and unfortunate as it is, and I don't agree with it, obviously, but when you turn on rock radio, even today, it's like there are very few females that are dominating rock radio. For whatever that reason is, it doesn't matter. But I said to her, you want to be on the radio, right? That's what, you know, you want to do that, right? So, you know, I don't think we're going in the right direction. I said, if we turn on rock radio right now, we're going to have to wait half the day to hear one female artist.
Right.
So, you know, she fought it for a little while, but she finally agreed to kind of take this closer step to dance, and I kind of transitioned it slowly with her, where I started, you know, just changing live drums and the drum machine, you know, taking live bass off with synth bass, and I did it, you know, slowly so it wouldn't shock her. But before you know it, within 2-3 months, she owned it, and she became this entity, this dance queen, and this very, you know, interesting electronic pop, quirky dance artist, and she just owned it.
And she owned it, and you owned it, because you were such a big part of that. I mean, you wrote Paparazzi, right? I mean, so you wrote all, you know, you were in there as part of the team. You're an artist now, because you're now, aren't you rap? Are you 8-bit? What's your name now? Well, you're actually performing.
You know, it's funny because, you know, I took on the name 8-bit because, you know, it's just so indicative of me for, you know, some different technical reasons, which we won't get into too much right now. But on the road, when I'm performing and singing, everyone calls me Carrie. So, you know what, I stopped correcting them, and I just say, yes, well, hi. And even on stage, I started, because you know what, you got to sometimes in life say, if you can't fight him, you got to join him. So even on stage, I'm Carrie Noki, thank you for listening. And, you know, it's like, you know, good night. But, you know, it's been like, you know, like I said to you earlier about having to turn that page and adding one more chapter to the life and to the journey. When I did, you know, the Gaga thing and looked for that artist, something happened after Gaga. Because, you know, it was kind of like I found myself in this very stale period of, well, yeah, I could top that. I could find another Gaga. And I bet you I could find one that's even bigger. And I was not being real with myself, because I actually tried. And I searched, and obviously every artist, the unsigned artist in the world was reaching out to me.
They wanted the magic touch, you know.
Yes.
So not knowing how, you know, you, there's a lot of work behind that.
Yes, and you know it, right? Exactly. It's not
work and timing. I mean, it's preparation,
yes,
timing, talent, and it's luck too. I mean,
the right team. So anyway, long story short, I must have met with 1,000 artists. No exaggeration. And one day, a couple years ago, I just said, oh, that's it. It was like my own 9/11. Not to obviously compare my situation to 9/11, as tragic as I was. But I said, I can't do it. I can't meet with that artist. I have not one star has walked into my studio in 1,000 people. There's somebody trying to tell me something.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally said, you know what? I got to get back to the music for the music. And the only way I knew how to do that was to write songs just to write songs. And I sat down and I wrote a song that day, just to write a song, which I hadn't done in years. And I wrote a song and I said, you know what, I'm not even going to look for a demo singer or somebody to try a singer. I'm just going to go into the studio tonight and lay a vocal down. And just let me just hear the music like I'm hearing it in my head for once again. Because I really hadn't heard that in a few years now, I have to understand. You know, since Gaga. And I laid the vocal down that night. I took a little break. I went to dinner, and I came back, and there was like maybe 6-7 people standing around the console when I got back, listening to the song I had done, waiting for me to come back. And they were just speechless. And I'm not trying to brag or be.
No, but I get it.
And, right, and they said to me, "What the hell have you been doing? Why are you?"
Looking for people.
Exactly. Why have you been looking for an artist? I said, you know what? I think you're right. And that was it. I never looked back. I started recording. I started basically writing my story in lyrics and in song as if it were a diary. And you know what? Someday somebody's going to put the pieces of these songs together and actually put the story together. Because obviously it's not literal. I'm not going to say things literal. But someday, somebody will be able to finally actually put these songs together and say, oh, my God,
Well, it's like there's emotional. There's an emotional heft to what you're talking about, and like I said, you know, what you're talking about, Rob here, or Carrie Noki, is you're talking about highs and lows and ups and downs. And here you are, we start the story with you in your basement, you know, in your mom's house, you know, trying to make music. Your mom's like, what are you doing? And here you go through discovering, you know, working with Destiny's Child, you're working with discovering Lady Gaga and all that, the beautiful ups and downs in that. I mean, and you're in the music business, which is a business, people, so you have ups and downs and lawsuits and all kinds of crazy stuff going on because it's the nature of the business. But now you're on the other side of that. Well, we're going to close on a very, very high note because, Rob, your new song is called Do Ya. And I know that you're using this as a theme for RuPaul's congratulations tour that's going out there. I want to confess something to you, Rob. I am now the favorite person in my spin class because I got a downloaded version of this, and I took it to my spin teacher, and everyone loves this song.
Yeah. I love it.
We use it when you're on 8 going up a hill.
I love it. You know I love you. That's the stuff that drives us, right? Just that's the reward when you hear stuff like that.
So I love this song, Do Ya.
Yeah, I think, you know, we this is almost like an inspirational turn. It turned into like an inspirational song.
Well, that's what we do here, Bo. We're about inspiration. We like gossip and dirt too, but we're about inspiration.
No, I didn't really know that, but I love the way it went. And you know what, like I said before, I mean, don't stop. Just don't stop. Because what you want is already in you. You just gotta dig down, take it. It's not out there. It's in you already.
You are, Rob, becoming the spokesperson for Bold, because that is our tag. What's out there, the boldest step you can take, folks, and I say this all the time, is not going outside yourself, but going inside to your greatest power. It's inside.
Yep.
So we're going to close with Rob's song, Do Ya. If you like what you've heard today, join the conversation at getboldtoday.com. You can like us. You can tweet us. Where can we find you online, Rob?
Yeah, so it's Carrie Noki, and people are always like, how do you spell it? It's like Carrie, C-A-R-Y.
Carrie Grant.
Like, you know, the door. N-O-K-E-Y. So Noki.com. Carrie
Noki. So Carrie, like Carrie Grant, C-A-R-Y, Noki.
Yes.
Well, we're going to close with Rob's wonderful song.
Do Ya. To make you feel all right. I'm bringing you up and down.
I'm LeGron Green, and this is Bold.